Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
I love to hear the sound of that man's voice. Oh my gosh, if he only knew how much I adore him. One of the greatest friends ever, Dave Solomon, always giving you that wonderful intro. And wherever you are today, my friend, welcome to Hybrid Jazz. Woo! Going to be a show and a half today. And actually, we didn't know how much of a show it was going to be. Here's the deal. We knew that the fabulous Denise Donatelli was going to be with us in the second hour of the show. If you have never heard this woman's voice, please get ready. It is the champagne of voices. It's what has been described as a musician's singer's voice. Just the clarity and the warmth and the absolute born-to-sing jazz feel about Denise Donatelli. And yes, there's certainly objectivity involved in this, even though she is from Pennsylvania. Look! Not like she's from Philly. She's from up the road in Allentown, PA. And now she's living in Los Angeles, where Mama Bear would like to be living one of these days. Now, we also have in the third hour, not so much of a surprise by now because I kind of spilled the beans earlier, but I believe that Lau Tizer will be checking in with us. Yes, indeed. He is going to be in Bethesda, Maryland in 2 days, and we wanted to jumpstart his Mid-Atlantic East Coast tour, so get ready for that. Let's play this song. I've wanted to play this for the past couple of weeks, and it's a little bit longer in length, but it's something that just sets the tone for the entire show. One of those classics from 1971, Stanley Turrentine, borrowed from John Coltrane, John's Impressions from the CD or the LP, if you will, Sugar, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Isn't that delightful? Is there instantaneous sunshine when you hear that woman's voice? Woo! There she was in the peak form that everybody remembers back in like 1959, 1960 or so. First time that Ella Fitzgerald actually worked with the wonderful conductor Nelson Riddle for one of the most ambitious recordings. This was 59. It was Ella Fitzgerald Sings the George and Ira Gershwin Songbook. Not something else. Now, she did some other projects that involved Broadway composers. And, man, this one was just so startling because there was such chemistry between Ella and Nelson. They seemed to get each other. Our love is here to stay. So beautiful. Mm. Jeff Golub and Brian Auger, Train Keeps A-Rollin', the title track. Now, I guess I don't have to remind you that Jeff is in ongoing need of our help. He's not touring, and I don't know how his emotional state is, but his physical state sort of prevents him, or he feels that it does, from touring. Having seen him in the summertime of last year, he just seemed to be a little timid to be out in public, and you can imagine that having had your sight for most of your life, and then for it to be taken away, and then to have some complications on top of that, it's very unsettling. So if you go to jeffgolub.com, you will see a way to contribute in however way you see fit to medical expenses, because no matter who you are, unless you're Rockefeller or a DuPont or one of those big names, you're going to not necessarily have an easy road in trying to keep up with what you need medically, in the way of psychoanalysis, in the way of downright physical treatment for getting back on your feet, or maybe a situation pertaining to his eyes where he needs another surgery or two. I don't know the circumstances, but I know that he needs our help. So if you think about him, think about him with love and prayer, please, and see if you can keep up with his website. Maybe we can find out some good news this year. I sure hope so. He's in prayer constantly. Brian Auger, meanwhile, is doing his thing. He's going to be in San Francisco on the 23rd and 24th at a place called Biscuits and Blues. Oh, that's a good combination. So if you go to brianauger.com, you'll find out about that. We heard at the top 1971's Sugar. It was Stanley Turrentine's first record for the CTI label after having been with Blue Note, a real good move, even though the move was precipitated by the fact that Stanley and his wife, Shirley Scott, separated and then divorced. So Stanley plowed into some fusion. Sure enough did. Tenor sax and the personnel on this particular project, George Benson, Ron Carter, Freddie Hubbard, woo, doing John Coltrane's impressions. And you'll know if you ever see the cover art for Sugar, you'll know what you're looking for, because it's a close-up of some toes being licked. How about that? Stanley, born in Pittsburgh, PA, and passed away in 2000 at 66 in Fort Washington, Maryland, where he made his home for a couple of years, we're proud to say. Not happy to have lost him, of course. Wish he was still around. But there is this Pennsylvania, California kind of vibe happening here today on Hybrid Jazz. We've got Denise Donatelli coming up next hour, and she was born in Allentown, in a rural part of Allentown. And then she made her way to Atlanta, where she was working at CNN. Yes, indeed. And then she decided after a couple of glasses of wine one night, she was going to get up to sing for a jam. And the rest, ladies and gentlemen, is history. Now in Los Angeles, she's got a story more to tell, actually. I just love her story, and I love her vibe and her voice. Oh, get ready for that. All right, something brand new. You ready? David P. Stevens, are you listening? If you have not heard this brand new single that was supposed to be launched today, but David pushed it back. So we'll get the word from him on Facebook or via his website, which is, by the way, and it's a little tricky. Look, I'm going to reprimand David, if you don't mind, because he doesn't have his website on his Facebook page. It's a different website, and it ain't there no more. So you need to go to davidstevensmusic.com, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, and find out more. But I digress. David got together with Jeanette Harris and did this. It's a tune called Innocence on Hybrid Jazz. jazz.
You're my sunny day, kicking back cozy as the radio plays. Just playing our favorite song, singing along, sitting on the dock of the bay. And you move just a little bit closer, and watch the sun go down. Can you stay just a little bit longer? Stay until the stars come out to play. You're my sunny day. You're a summer breeze, chases all clouds away. My sunny day, all my rainy days have gone away. Some kind of deja vu, seems like a dream. Whenever I'm here with you, the very first time we kissed, said to myself, heaven must be like this. Every day it's a little bit stronger, feeling I can't deny. And I know I can't wait any longer. Tell you how I feel inside. You're my sunny day. You're a summer breeze that chases all clouds away. You're my sunny day. A bright sunny day, my rainy days have gone away. You are my sunny day. Can you move just a little bit closer? Sunny day. Can you stay just a little bit longer? You're my sunny day, getting back cozy at the radio plays.
Somewhere, Slim Man's ears are burning in Palm Springs, if he's still there. Oh, bless your heart. Slim Man, right there, and Sunny Day from Thousand Miles Away. I just love that CD so much. That was a few years ago. He's had the live CD in the meantime, and we are having a chat room discussion on Slim. And if you're listening, Tim, we want you to understand that you need to stay in California. Get your stuff in Nashville and just move on out there. You already understand that Batu has a girlfriend now where you are, so it would just be wrong for Batu to leave his girlfriend. So we're thinking, you know, with his looks and personality and voice, he could not only find film work to beat the band, but also contribute to the soundtrack. I mean, it's a no-brainer. somebody's going to have to talk to that boy, whose birthday is Thursday, by the way. Yay! Along with his dream woman, Sade. So we'll have to do another Slim song on Thursday and something from Sade. Yes. Oh, by the way, if you go to slimman.com, it does say site under construction. So a tinge went through me, and I wrote to him this morning and said, site under construction, is this the website or is this you? So he wrote back and said, I am under construction. Film at 11. And I said, all right then, why don't you get the bulldozers and make sure that you get a pickup truck along with that and do as we say, move to California and stay there. So we're putting that out in the universe. Gerald Veasley, we heard too, better get hit in your soul. I always laugh when I see that title. Better get hit in your soul. Sounds like something, a mafia song or something. From the Electric Mingus Project from 2011. Just so you know, and of course, Gerald with us last week. Oh my God, that was such a great week. No, the week before. Yeah, with Najee and Tony Exum Jr. last week. Oh my God, that was good. Gerald is doing his bass boot camp. That will continue into February. And then Full Tilt Boogie for March and April, because huge part of the Berks Jazz Festival, and as you know, and we might as well give a plug for Gerald's club, which is right there at the Crown Plaza Hotel, where all the activity is. And man, there have been so many good times at the Jazz Base, because folks can just filter out of the big room there at the Crown Plaza. And when the show is done, after hours is when Reading, Pennsylvania comes alive. I don't get it either. But that's what happens, and it's because, in large part, to Gerald Veasley. Yay! Now, Gerald is a Philadelphia guy, another Philadelphia guy, David P. Stevens. On guitar, Jeanette Harris, contributing her lovely voice and sax to Innocence. It's out this week. David was all set as of yesterday to launch it today. I don't know what the deal is, but that's okay. We'll find out at davidstevensmusic.com. And we'll find out more during the year about Jeanette Harris. She's got a huge schedule, originally from Fresno, California, church girl, ready to do her thing at Blues Alley tomorrow night in D.C. Glad I found out about this because the timing is real good. All right. Let's get this show in gear, shall we? I want to get to a lot of music because there's so much great stuff, honestly. And we haven't played this lady for a while. Speaking of ladies, the consummate one lady, Denise Donatelli, coming up in less than 15 minutes here on Hybrid Jazz. Let's turn our attention to the amazing, and actually we picked up Jazz Times yesterday. She was the recipient of the Reader's Poll as best clarinet player, which is pretty cool because there weren't a lot of women in this mix for best of. A little disheartened to see that. We have a lot of work to do in 2014. This is Anat Cohen from Claroscuro, The Wedding on Hybrid Jazz.
Mm-hmm. Keep the shack and jam alive. Don't you get to cruise. This loser's a good gift to your life.
Just amazing. Whoa. You have no idea what transpired when I first heard Soul Shadows. Now, I had been familiar with Denise Donatelli's name way before listening to this entire project, immersing myself in it. And then all of what I read about her made absolute sense. The fact that she stunned the minute that she got up on that stage in Atlanta, when she decided to join the crowd for a little jam session, stunned reading about her background being classically trained and hearing about her being named as Jazz Vocalist of the Year in 2012 by the Los Angeles Jazz Society, no small feat. You have heard her voice a number of times on commercials, and while The Simpsons were on, she is what you would call, and I've said this before about some singers, and it really does merit repeating itself, especially in the case of Denise, because when people hear her voice, they are so instantly smitten because she's got a warmth about her. There is something that just transcends where you are at the time. You forget. You're catapulted back or catapulted into a moment in the present where you want something so much, and then you're thinking about the future and what that could be. She does all of that, and no less than Phil Woods has called her a musician singer, and that's the highest praise actually you can give anyone, because that way you know that someone has credibility beyond and above the call. She is seriously one of my new favorite people in the world, and I haven't even talked to her yet. Denise Donatelli from Los Angeles. Hey, Denise.
Hey, Trish. Oh, my God. I've never heard such an introduction. That is, you are so amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, listen.
How does anybody live up to that?
And maybe not. Maybe you can't. But
maybe I can.
But listen, it's just so much of a natural high for me to think of you as an Allentown girl.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then you go to Atlanta, and then you go to Los Angeles. And here's the thing that so astounds me. And I cried when I first heard about this, because you put so much on the back burner when you got married and had kids and really waited until your boys were teens to pursue this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just, I was a single mother.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have any relatives nearby. My parents had moved to, my father retired to Florida. And yeah, I mean, I was on my own with them. So logistically, it wasn't possible. And frankly, you know, the reason I quit taking I stopped taking piano lessons was because of stage fright. My parents were completely devastated because they had some really high hopes for me, as did my piano teacher, who, by the way, was a Juilliard grad and also taught Keith Jarrett in Allentown.
Yes.
So this really was pretty much a kick in the gut, especially after years and years of piano lessons and financially, I mean, everything that they had put into it. But I told them, I said, I can't see myself on stage. And truth be told, I really didn't love the music. I love it now. I love classical music now. But back then, I think I was just, I was fried. And the stage fright really got to me. You know, when you start at such an early age, you know, you really don't put much thought into it. You know, it's just something that you do. You know, six years old, I'm performing, and really didn't have an impact on me until I started getting older, and then I you know. So, and still today, I still get those jitters, and I was just reluctant to get up on stage, period.
Yeah, well, Denise, no wonder, because, I mean, this was a part of rural Allentown where you had your family, and then you had cows across the street. You know, if you have that as a blueprint, you know, that feeling solitary, and you said that you thought that helped, and I really do think it did, in that you feel the music. You do. I can feel you feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I do. I do. I have two older sisters. My older sister, she was the jazz aficionado, and yeah, we were living out in the country, and back then we had the Capitol and Columbia Record Clubs, and she was very much into jazz. She was also a classical pianist, and very much into jazz, and we would get albums, you know, and we couldn't wait to go to the mailbox to see what we were getting next. And, you know, we kept it all. I mean, there wasn't, it was too much of a hassle to have to go into town and take everything back to the post office. So we just kept it. And I listened to everything. I listened to big band. I listened to trios, Ahmad Jamal, Oscar Peterson, Carmen McRae, Ella Fitzgerald. And of course, you know, being Italian, my parents were very much into Sinatra. My mother especially was into Sinatra because, you know, he's a singer. His phrasing. And so I memorized everything. I even memorized some of Lambert Hendricks and Ross's Cloudburst, you know. I was 7 years old. And Give Me That Wine. There I am singing Give Me That Wine at you know, at the age of 8. So
adorable.
But that's what I did. You know, that was my recreation. So I'd go to school, I'd be bussed into the city and bussed home. And
is
I'd
that right?
Snack, do my homework and practice piano and then listen to jazz for recreation.
So. Oh, my. And, you know, here's something. I just don't want to wait to say this to you. I planned this show really carefully because I really want to have a mix of different kinds of jazz. Do you know, I was so mindful of your voice for this show. I didn't want to play any other female voices except for Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's so sweet. Wow.
No,
I know.
And look,
I heard Ella. I mean, how can you not play Ella?
Because, and here it is really the bottom line. Why? Because you, to me, are the modern day Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, wow! That, what a compliment that is. Wow, Trish, thank you.
No, I mean
so
it with all of my heart, because you have a feel, and you have clarity, and the technical aspect of your voice is so right on. But forget about that. It's what you make people feel, and that song that we just played with Peter Eldridge, that's not the easiest song to sing in the world.
No,
but
no,
it's so
really
effortless. that's one of those Kurt Weill songs that people heard a long time ago that's from another generation, and here you are like, hey, nothing to it, I got this.
Wow. But, you know, that song, we heard Peter at a club here at Vitello's. Jeffrey happened to be playing for him. Well, Peter plays piano. I mean, Peter wrote that song.
Yeah.
And he was doing a performance with, I think, Julia Dallas and some other vocalists. So Peter got up and went to the piano, and Jeffrey stepped away from the piano and came back and sat at a table with me. And Peter sang that song. And Jeffrey and I looked at each other because we were looking for music for the next CD, for that CD for Soul Shadows. And I said, I'm really digging this song. And he said, yeah, he said, it's great. So that was it. So we asked Peter if he would join me on that. And he, of course, he said, absolutely. But we had to lower the key for him. And he, bless his heart, he did it, though. He was singing like Barry White, but he managed to do it, and he sounds great on it. So
yeah,
he's going to be out here next week. He's going to be back at Vitello's. So
really?
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Oh,
he's so talented.
Oh my gosh, if there's an event page, I'll be glad to share that, because there's a bunch of friends I have in that neighborhood who would just
really
drop everything to see him, yes.
Oh, well, please do. Let me see what, I think it's next Wednesday, I believe.
And you know what, if there isn't an events page, I'll do one.
Okay, great.
For him, because that's, people need to know.
It's the 22nd.
22nd, okay.
At Vitello's, yeah, the 22nd.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And I believe, I believe my friend's John Prue. Are you hip to John?
Excellent. I know the name,
vocalist,
but
and piano player, and Sarah Kazarek.
Yeah.
They're going to be joining him as well.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good show.
You know, and here's the thing, and now I won't spend too much time on this, but people need to understand not everybody is aware of who's going to play where. So when you say something like Peter Eldridge is going to be at Vitello's, unless someone is cognizant of going to Vitello's website all the time, we don't necessarily know. A lot of these shows do not get publicity, and if they do, where on radio are we going to hear about that? You
know? Isn't that the truth? It's really, it's really a shame. It's really a shame. I do know that John Wilkie on NPR, he lists, you know, most of the major clubs across the country.
That's great.
And typically for the weekend. So, yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and that needs to get expanded, and that
mm-hmm.
will put a bookmark in that thought, because I'm working on something as we speak. There will be another source to go to, so that if anybody would like to see where somebody is going to play, there
mm-hmm.
will be one-stop shopping for those folks who like
jazz.
Yeah,
yeah.
That
I'm
needs
sorry.
To be.
Did I say John? It's Jim Wilkie.
That's okay.
You know, it came out of my mouth, and I went, well, yeah, that doesn't sound right. No, it's Jim Wilkie.
Well, he'll forgive you.
Jazz, his show is Jazz After Hours. And he even, oh, my God, he even wrote my liner notes for When Lights Are Low. So.
Oh, listen. Listen, you mentioned him, though, and you clarified it. So all is well.
Yeah.
and BJ is in our chat room. Actually, there's a nice little gathering in our chat room, and she loves your voice, Denise, because she heard you on K-Jazz in California.
Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there is an outlet
Lovely.
Or two in the great state of California for
yeah.
listening to jazz, and there will
right.
be more, but that's a whole
well,
different kind
we
of
hope
show.
So we have to we
yes.
have to keep supporting these radio stations.
That's for sure.
You know.
Yep. Yep. And the shows.
Good. Well, shout out to BJ. Thank you, BJ.
Yes. She'll be very happy to have heard her name mentioned because she is truly looking out for, as we all are, especially females who are involved in jazz. So when we hear a voice or when we hear an instrument, we immediately gravitate to it. And you, I want to hear this story, Denise, about you being in Atlanta. Here you are working at CNN. And you decide to have a little glass of wine or two one night, and you get up for that jam session.
Oh, my goodness. Liquid courage. I guess that's what they call it.
Yes.
Well, I had a friend of mine, Tony Winston, in Atlanta, who is a performer and a pianist and beautiful singer as well. And he heard me singing, and we were driving somewhere, and he heard me sing very, very softly. And he said, is that as loud as you can sing? He was always, you know, pushing me. And so he took me, first he took me to a karaoke bar, and there was no one in there. And this is how crazy and how petrified of hearing my own voice. I guess I had a phobia about microphones. It just sounded so loud. And so he took me to karaoke, and he heard me sing there. I mean, he finally got me to sing. And then he said, okay. He said, let's go over to every Tuesday night in Atlanta, they have this one club. They have a jazz jam. And at that time, Russell Malone was living in Atlanta, and he was also performing. He was on the road quite a bit with Diana Krall. So this one Tuesday night, he just happened to be home and came to the club, and my friend Tony put my name on the list, unbeknownst to me, and I was furious. I was so angry.
Oh my gosh, you were furious even. Oh.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just didn't want to do it. But, you know, they called my name and I had to do it. I was just like, and it just so happened that Russell Malone was on, which made it even more terrifying. Russell Malone was on the stand. So
oh
I got up and I sang, and that was that. And, you know, in the musician world, no matter where you are, whatever city you're in, I mean, most of the musicians know each other, and word gets around. And just so happened that Francine Reed was offered a tour with Lyle Lovett. She was a background singer for Lyle Lovett, but she was also had a regular gig at the Ritz-Carlton downtown, which is where they put everybody up. It was pretty much a happening scene. I don't know if it still is. I'm sure it is. Beautiful, beautiful room. I believe the music director was there, and we traded information, and then he called me, and he asked me to come down, and I really didn't have any charts or anything. I knew my keys, so, you know, which was fine. You know, this band, this trio that I was working with, they, you know, they could transpose anything, they could play anything. So as long as I had the songs and my keys, you know, we were off. So it just stuck, and he hired me, and I did that three nights a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Left me the weekends to do club dates and parties and, you know, weddings and bar mitzvahs. But yeah, I did that for 5 years.
And 5 years.
Yeah, I literally cut my teeth there. And
you
and
sure
the people
did.
That came through that room, including Freddie Cole, who, you know, I'm still a friend with now, and because Freddie lives in Atlanta. So Freddie would come in if he wasn't touring, and they'd put up all whoever was appearing at the Fox Theater. They would put them up at the Ritz-Carlton, and Nancy Wilson came in, and you know, it was really a happening scene. So I'm very fortunate to have done that. So,
and
yeah.
Denise, you know, here's the thing that kills me. Having been so familiar with Francine Reed, because I have been familiar with Lyle Lovett since the 80s, so having seen Lyle a few times with Francine and knowing her style, and then you replace Francine at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes.
So, that was a night and day kind of vibe there, and you just prospered there, and you delved into all kinds of jazz, and you really were a student. So then, what was it that propelled you? What was it that finally said to you, it's time to go to L.A.?
I had met a lot of people through Turner, through my work at Turner. We used several production houses out here in L.A., so I got to know a lot of people. And that was it. I just thought, you know, I needed a change, and sons were grown, and I came out.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's...
That was it.
And you know, there's no sense talking about, I never ask this question, if you would have had your druthers, would you have done this sooner? Because everybody has to be ready for the change. Everybody has to be prepared for what the next step is. And now, you said earlier about your parents, and it just broke their hearts that you gave up classical piano. Denise, I mean, you probably, to so many people that you knew when you were younger, far exceeded dreams or expectations. Don't you feel that way about your life, honestly?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah.
I have to pinch myself sometimes. You know, I
amazing.
It's a path, you know. It's a journey. I feel like my life has been a journey, and I'm still. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? But
right.
You know, you just have to. You just have to. I've been very lucky. I think it. You know, there are some amazingly talented and great vocalists out there and musicians, and you know, I think it's timing and luck. You know, we were watching the Golden Globe Awards, and some of the speeches were really they were really lovely, you know, and humbling. I mean, all of this is humbling for me. I just scratch my head and think, you know, I must have an angel somewhere, you know. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. But I would disagree with you saying it maybe is a matter of timing and luck. The other key, most important ingredient is the absolute right to sing some of the songs that have been beloved songs for years. When I heard you sing All or Nothing at All, it's as if I heard the song for the first time. And
that's Jeffrey Keyser for you. I have surrounded myself with the best. He's the best of the best. And I've always sung that song. You know, I mean, from the time I was a little girl and listening to Frank Sinatra singing it, you know, I mean, but he took it. He sent me a Eva Ayón. He's a Peruvian vocalist, and this one song that he sent me, it has that same vibe. It was very, very sultry, and the time. I mean, I think it's in 12. You know, and so trying to get that whole Peruvian feel and get the time down, trying to fit the lyrics and how I'm going to sing the lyrics, but it works, you know, it just works. But that's Jeffrey's creativity and his that's what he does. He takes music that, you know, hard-worn tunes and just makes them all new, recreates them, gives them a different feel.
Well, you're a good team, but the intonation of you, the what I love when I'm listening to a vocalist, the unexpected turn of phrase or the embellishment on something that had never been embellished, and Boy, I could even cry talking about it because I broke down when I heard you sing When I Looked Again. I broke down.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That,
so
you
we're
know,
gonna,
that song had, yeah.
Oh, we're
going to
play it.
Like.
But, oh, no, you tell us about that song because that's I wasn't aware who wrote it.
Sting. Sting and Christian McBride.
Yeah.
They, well, it's never been recorded before. They were going to record it for the Vertical Visions album, and Jeffrey was playing on that. And you know, when you go into the studio, you have a list of songs that you'd like to do. Some you get to record, some just you run out of time, or you just never, or you do record them, and you're not really pleased, you know, with the outcome. You don't want to put it on the album. Or you know, we try to keep the if you're doing a CD, I mean, we typically try to keep it under 60 minutes. So anyhow, When I Looked Again was written by Sting and Christian McBride, and it never made the album. And Jeffrey remembered it, and it's a great song. And we asked Christian, you know, if we could do it, and he said absolutely. But it was funny when after we were trying to get the CD launched, we were trying to get all the approvals and the licensing and all of that. But since it had never been recorded before or put on another album, Sting never bothered to get the BMI rights. So we had to go through. We had to track him down, and I think he was somewhere out in Europe, but Christian helped with that, and you know, all is good now. But yeah, that's the story, you know, behind that song.
Oh my God, and that is so not like Sting, because some of us know that back in the day he was fastidious about getting those rights.
Oh, you got it. Of course.
This is one of those treasures. We're just going to give you 3.5 minutes of bliss right now from Denise Donatelli's Soul Shadows album. This is When I Looked Again.
I looked up and all I see, the lonely moon looks down on me. I watch the stars above, and I would find no obvious love that held the thing together or give it any meaning. And this was the conclusion that I found myself believing. Your
the faintest trace. My heart began to race, and I was forced to run in place. But then I looked again, and the world held no indifference. I was forced to the conclusion that it's you who made the difference.
No, you didn't relate to that song at all, did you? Oh, my. I was, you know, it's almost embarrassing when you feel like somebody's personal connection to a song and, ooh, it just like sparks fly and you're thinking, I'm living a vicarious life here. Oh, my, that was just so divine. You know, some singers are beer singers, and some singers are wine. You, Denise Donatelli, are Dom Perignon. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
You are.
Trish, you have a way with words, man. You really do. No, that's lovely. Thank you. That is
lovely. You're welcome. And that's a lovely song. And I just posted, and see, this is the beauty of the absolute invasion of privacy on Facebook, because I just put that you are on the show. Here is this take on the Sting Christian McBride song. And it immediately goes to Sting's official page. So
uh-huh.
He will know that we played this song. So, look, I would love to see a Sting Denise Donatelli tour. I don't know about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I would hate that.
I'll bet you would. Well, you know, there is Sting and Paul Simon this year, which is kind of crazy to think about.
I know.
Yeah.
He's got another album out that takes him back to his Irish roots.
Yes.
And I love this album. I love it. It's just, it's the best. In fact,
I'm
looking at recording another one of his songs, you know. I mean, it's just it's just amazing. Yeah, you know, to think of it, the last three, I don't know, I can't even keep track. We did a Sting song. There's a Sting song on each one. So, yeah.
Well, I heard a female singer do a couple of years ago, Englishman from New York.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I could see you. I mean, that he just naturally has this jazz vibe to him. There's nothing he can do about it.
He's so talented. He really
he's
a musician. He's really phenomenal, and what a writer.
And you know what? It may have something to do with the fact that he was really serious about becoming a monk at one time. So he's deeply spiritual, and he's connected in a way to music that is not. We should be discussing this a whole lot more. For example,
mm-hmm.
when somebody played him I can't even think because I'm so excited about having you on the show. But when somebody played him Eva Cassidy's Fields of Green, he broke down and cried. He cried.
He's
just like that. So when you have a connection to music and, you know, you have that kind of bonding process with a song, oh, my gosh, that means everything to an audience. It does.
Wow. Well, that's really lovely to hear. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And I'm not going to – I don't know how long you wanted to stay, but it's not that I'm going to keep you for too much longer, but I just want to delve into – what you can tell us about 2014, and you must, the calls that you must get to be on projects or TV commercials or TV shows, or you being the catalyst for making somebody else's record pop, what does Denise want to do for Denise this year?
Well, I'd like to... And we will be recording again.
Great.
Right now I'm looking for music. But, you know, I mean, and I'm I have a lot of people sending me music. And, you know, some you know, it's an odd thing. You know, you just know. When you hear a song, you just know. And I also, I mean, at this point, we're still trying to figure out, you know, what the format is going to be, how we want to, you know, what the feel will be. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's a great process.
What does that mean? What does what you just said mean? I mean, you like a particular kind of vibe, like this Peruvian, Brazilian dreamscape happening in your head, or something that is?
Well, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
You know, I'm not big on themes. You know, that seems to be the rage, because what happens ultimately, you kind of box yourself in, and you wind up doing music that. If it fits in a particular theme or tribute or whatever, you know, you wind up having to do music that you ordinarily wouldn't to record. So, you know, we're pretty eclectic in our taste. I mean, we've got a whole just like that Jonathan Brook tune that we did on the Soul Shadows. Jeffrey brought me that one, and she's pretty much an underground singer in New York. Great.
I'm familiar.
I mean, she's,
yes.
Yeah. And she's a great writer, great vocalist.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, we just really need to find some music that hasn't been done a lot, you know, over and over again. That's just... And that, you know, might work. We're still talking about our band. I think we like the guitar, piano, bass, and percussion, drums, and percussion. We love that format.
Yes.
So, This is, right now we're just looking for music. So it's exciting. So we hope to get into the studio maybe sometime over the summertime.
Well, you know what? Here's an idea. If you like the vibe of Jonathan Brooke, having been involved in alternative country or Americana, if you will, for quite a while, there is a whole pool of those kinds of resources, Denise. And probably California is rife with those kinds of folks who are toiling, trying some way, somehow to be recognized. And any song that is worth pursuing coming from their throats would be gold in yours. So, there's an idea for you.
That's not necessary. That's not necessarily true.
Oh, look. And anybody who, you know, if you want another kind of reason to fall in love with Denise, look for the video, Soul Shadows. That was really a kick, the way that was done. Can I just say how cool that was?
Yeah.
Denise.
Yeah, that was, well, yeah, that was a, that was my fiance's handiwork. But I have to tell you, no, he has a studio here in L.A., and he had one of his editors work on that, but totally with my guidance. I mean, that was what I wanted to do, because Soul Shadows is an homage to all of these great musicians that came before us. I mean, Will James wrote a phenomenal lyric to that. So that's what it's all about. And we got all this great old footage, and his graphic designer put it all together, and yeah, it came out pretty good.
Oh, it was as if you were walking down the hallway of history, of jazz history.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that was my idea, Trish.
Awesome. You know what? Listen, if you get any more talented, I'm just going to hang up the phone. Oh, my God, that was your idea. That was really incredible. I hadn't seen anything done like that, frankly.
Yeah, well, we ran into some problems with footage and rights and licensing and all of that, but we took care of that, and it came out pretty good, you know? I'm proud of that.
And anything that you can do in the future that partners you with Joe Sample and Will Jennings, you go for it, okay?
Yeah,
because
I love the Crusaders.
Oh,
love the Crusaders.
God. And then Will Jennings on his own, please, everybody who's into the research about what these writers do. I was playing Will Jennings music during my country music career on radio in Nashville and in Philadelphia and in Baltimore. He is sick with music in his soul.
I know. He really is. Hey,
oh, my
what
gosh.
A talent. What a resume. It, I mean,
yes.
Movies and, oh, jeez. Yeah, yeah.
And you just did he and Joe so much justice with this. And that's what intrigued me because, you know, Soul Shadows is not one of those two words that you find together. So immediately you think, okay, I know the song by Joe Sample, and I know that Will Jennings wrote that. So when I heard you do the song, it was, it was meant to be. And that's the biggest thing about you and your career. You really were meant to be. You could have been, because of your studying classical piano, you probably would have had a great career, but you wouldn't have shined like this. You know that.
Well, that's an excellent point. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's an excellent point. And my father has since passed away, but my mother is very proud.
Oh, good.
It all worked out. She's not mad at me anymore.
I'm so glad. You know, I was scared to ask you about
Oh, because, my God, she used to drive me back and forth and back and forth.
I can visualize that because, look, you have to drive when you're out in the boondocks like that. You have to go
goodness,
a distance.
Yeah. Right, right.
She had high hopes.
She sure did. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she really did. So she's not mad at me anymore, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah, and so the awards, you know, came in to you. I mean, you were recognized at a young age for your expertise. You demonstrated that very early. And now, I mean, when you have Phil Woods saying what he says about you and these peers in your industry, I mean, when you get a nod that says you are the Los Angeles Jazz Society Jazz Vocalist of the Year, Herbie Hancock doesn't have to fritter away his time with mediocrity. So, I mean, you're the shizzle. That's all there is. Oh, my.
You're hilarious. You are so funny. But thank you. Thank you.
You're
embarrassing me.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Shizzle. I've never been called that before.
Yeah. You don't find that in the hardcore, straight-ahead jazz circles. You know, you don't necessarily find that kind of lingo. But tell your fiancé, good job for the video. And you need to take some real giant steps. Anything, honestly, that I can do, I will, as far as doing events for you, making sure people know, anything, Denise.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you. Thanks so much, Trish. That's so sweet. I appreciate that.
Well, look, the whole bottom line is, why do you listen to music? What turns you on now? What excites you? What inspires you when you listen to certain artists or certain kinds of music? Why do you do it, Denise?
It relaxes me. It spurs on creativity. Oh, everything. Music is everything to me. I've been listening since I was a baby. It's comforting. It comforts me. You know?
So
what
I'm
looking
deal.
For, yeah, it really is. I mean, right now I'm listening to lyrics, listening to, of course, lyrics, melody, you know, the melody has to grab me. But then I listen to the lyrics. Music is everything. It's who I am.
Oh, definitely. Well, here's what is being offered to you right now. Do you listen because you find yourself, not that you would describe it this way, but would you say that music heals you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, it's very calming. It calms me. It takes me, heals me for sure.
Well, first of all,
places, you know,
transportational, yes. Yes. It's a train, it's a plane, it's a car,
mm-hmm.
it's Olita Adams, get here.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
and
I mean, right now, I mean, I'm very much into, and I've always loved Brazilian music. I've always loved Jobim, but I'm discovering all these other Brazilian artists. And Peruvian artists, and it's just you know, I wish I could understand what they're saying, you know, but you really don't even have to. It's the vibe, it's the feel, it's the melodies. So, yeah.
Well, that might be something for you to think about doing. Well,
we throw Brazilian music in all the time. I mean,
I don't mean that.
We've done it with Ivan Lins and studying another language.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because that would be so natural for you. It just is in your blood. I mean, your blood goes back, because don't think that I didn't see that your dad traced his musical roots to 19th century Italy. So you have no choice.
Yeah. I know. I took some Italian courses with a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, and we would go out to eat before the class and drink some wine. So by the time we got into class, we really couldn't focus much on anything. That was money well spent. Anyhow. Yes, I need to do that again. In fact, the teacher of the course, she moved back to Italy, so I have to look into that. I have to do it again. But Portuguese, now there you go. That's something that I'd really love to learn.
Oh yeah,
so
I would love
it, because I love the music.
Exactly, and some of these can be translated, of course, and they have been to English, but, you know, in the late 50s, early 60s, when it was just starting to pick up momentum, there were all these beautiful songs that were being said in that language, and honestly, why would we want to translate? Because when you sing them with the meaning of the Portuguese language, it either hits you or it does not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Sue, this is how you affect people. We had a comment in Blog Talk Radio's forum when a lady who lives in Los Angeles, who is a fellow singer, Sue Murdoch, heard that you were going to be on the show. She said, this is a fellow singer now, I love Denise Donatelli. So there.
Oh, sweet. That's sweet.
Yep.
Thank you. And what is her name?
Sue Murdoch. Matt's in the chat room. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, because he actually gave me the clip, but I think that's her name, Sue Murdoch. And she made it a point to say how much she appreciates you. And that's the kind of vibe that you give to people. You have this rare talent, but yet you are very approachable. So that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I've embarrassed you enough. Let you go.
Okay.
you're
a doll, Trish. Thank you so much. I so appreciate it. You are awesome, and I love your show. And I especially love your taste in music.
Well,
no,
I guess.
I have to tell you, I'm so happy that you played the Peter Eldridge song, because...
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Peter's a New York Voices founder and steeped in jazz.
I appreciate that.
But some would, not classify Postcards and Messages as jazz, nor would they, you know, when I looked again. So I really appreciate all of the attention and the airplay and everything that you've done for this album.
Holy cow, Denise. This is called Hybrid Jazz for a reason. You know, it's an umbrella, and there is a wide playground underneath that umbrella. And there are some things that people still scratch their head about that I play. But you know what? In the context of how this three-hour show is, and thinking about a full-time terrestrial radio station that's commercial 24 hours a day playing these songs, they'd fit right in. So don't you even think twice about that, girlfriend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't have recorded them if I didn't love them. So it's ever evolving. You know, it's great
that,
music.
Right.
Music is music. Great music is great music. So
well,
I appreciate.
Sure. Oh, my gosh. And here's the cool thing about you. How many times have I said that this hour? But there's so many. You just will always have that that jazz voice. You know that some of us cultivate that kind of voice because it is just so all-pervasive. You can do folk music if you want to, Denise. You can try to get play on mainstream country radio, but you're always going to sound like jazz.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you know, I was born into it, I guess. You know, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was. So,
and I'm grateful for your parents. So tell your mom.
I am
good job.
Too. I am too. I love my parents. I sure do miss my dad. So
I'll bet you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you and I.
He would have been very proud.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding? Oh, to see this.
Yeah.
You know, when parents care and they invest this kind of time, especially in you as a daughter, as opposed to being a son, investing all this time knowing that you have a gift, especially being an Italian man.
Yeah.
You
oh
know,
my goodness.
I love Italian men.
They're very proud.
Very proud and very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk again. We'll do this on the regular. That would be great.
Okay. Yeah,
thank
I'm
you,
so
Denise.
There. Thank you, Trish. Thanks so much. And
you are.
Lots of luck
you
to you with your station and your blog, and it's very cool. It's all very cool. Your program. So.
Thank you so much. Coming from you, that's a lot. So.
Yeah. It's great. So thank you.
Well, thank
I'll talk
you.
Soon.
All right, Denise.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you on Facebook, Trish.
Yay! Okay.
Okay. All right, later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Denise Donatelli. And, of course, you know that we're going to end this hour with Soul Shadows. Woo! If you have not heard this song, or the whole of it, please get the whole CD, DeniseDonatelli.com. But this is the one that has the very cool video with the flashbacks to musical history, written by Joe Sample and Will Jennings on Hybrid Jazz.
Storyville, catch me wailing somewhere in Chicago.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
man. Like taking a trip and never leaving the farm, isn't it? Woo! Oh, I love that hybrid stuff. You know I do. Listen, this whole show has been a sort of subtle homage to California in a way, because Denise Donatelli was with us last hour, made her way from Allentown to Atlanta to Los Angeles, and there's been some California vibes in there, folks who were based in or came to be in California, and then we had some folks in Philly that we were playing. Well, right before this song, and we're going to get to that because the gentleman who was responsible for that song is on the phone with us, I want you to be aware of this. The song that you heard in the middle of that mix, it was Denise and then Johnny Williams from back in 1961. Having seen the Golden Globes the other day, I was reminded of things that were Hollywood. This was a piece from the 60s TV detective show called Checkmate. It was a song called The Isolated Pawn. Now, you know who Johnny Williams is, right? He became John Williams, possibly one of the most influential folks who ever was behind soundtracks. And it just seemed logical to play Johnny Williams back-to-back with Lau Tizer. This young man is a keyboardist and composer. I know that you know the name Tizer. What you just heard is World in Rhythm from Download from 2012, one of the hotter pieces of music that's all-encompassing, taking in jazz and classical and rock and this delightful sense of jazz fusion that nobody had ever heard before. And now that we got that big buildup, here's Lau Tizer.
Wow,
how are you?
I'm good, Trish. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I should hire you to come on the road with us and introduce us. I mean, it would certainly at least be good for my self-confidence.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you know, people will be going, oh, my God, it sounds like the second coming.
And then suddenly you walk out on stage and they go, well, at least I walk out on stage and they go, doesn't look like it's that important.
Yeah. No, hey, listen.
Better looking, something. No, just using.
No, better looking, that's for sure. I mean, you got the looks. It's all in one package there. And what you are able to do, look, if people don't feel good after hearing your music, they have to go to the doctor. They have to go to the doctor, do you hear me? Because this is like the ultimate vitamin, the ultimate infusion of life into a lifeless little body. Seriously.
Thank you. That is very kind of you, and you know, thanks. It's good to be back with you again. I think we did this maybe a year or so ago when the album was just coming out, and we're excited. The album served us well, and looking forward to hitting the road this year. Actually, we this is a pretty early time of year to be busy on the road, so that's a real blessing for us, and we're looking forward to coming to the East Coast this week. So yeah, it should be fun.
Yes. Yeah, and look, let folks know about this, because this is pretty exciting. First of all, Bethesda Blues and Jazz is where you're coming in 2 days, which is awesome.
Right.
The room is really cool, and you have a real lengthy list of folks who are intending to come, including John Ernesto, because you're going to be playing at the club where John oversees on Friday.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so we're all coming out from Los Angeles on Wednesday night, and then we're at Bethesda Blues and Jazz on Thursday night, and then at Building 24, which, as you said, is the venue that John runs in addition to Burke's Jazz Fest.
Yep.
And then on Saturday night, we're wrapping up this little tour at Centenary College, a little outside New York City in Jersey, as part of their January Jazz Fest. They do like a 3-week series. So really excited, and also this is kind of a special treat for me as well, because at both Bethesda and in New Jersey, they're both more like, I know Bethesda's more of like a dinner theater kind of vibe, and obviously at the college it's like a performing arts center, but they both have beautiful grand pianos, and I actually get to play those, which Isn't that awesome? Because a lot of times we're on outdoor festivals where there aren't pianos there, or it's just too loud and it's not practical. So it's always a treat for me as a pianist to be able to play an acoustic piano live.
Looking forward to that. Well, and here's what I told Gerald Veasley when he was with me several days ago. If you've never been or experienced, you can see in pictures what BB&J looks like, but Lau, it's a converted movie theater. So when you go in, there is a bar, which is awesome.
Right.
That's where people used to be able to buy popcorn. And then there are seats just like a movie theater, but then they cleared away those seats so that there are spaces for dinner. So what you actually have is a venue that seats a number of people, but it feels intimate.
Right.
Yeah. That's important because you don't see a whole lot of these kinds of theaters. It's right in the heart of Bethesda, which is in the shadow of D.C., and there's all these very cool shops, and people will come by the marquee. You'll be on the marquee, and folks that were like politicians and celebrities who were visiting Washington will go by the main street and go, oh, stop the car. Tizer's here.
Let's hope so. Well, I do believe that we have some dignitaries. No, I'm just kidding. there's several important international diplomats in our performance.
Don't be surprised.
Believe me, I would be thrilled. We always love coming through the D.C. area. I mean, it's a very rich area for jazz, you know, between, like, the whole, I guess you should say, you know, I should say, the Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, like, the whole greater area. There's a lot of great venues and great events, and we've been fortunate to be out there a lot the last few years. So I always look forward to it. I mean, I'm going to be leaving what has been the most unbelievable weather in California, actually. It's like summer down here the last couple of days. I don't know. It's kind of scary, actually. I mean, of course, I shouldn't complain that it's like 80 degrees and sunny, but it is January. We are supposed to have rain, so hopefully that will show up. But, yeah, we're coming out to the East Coast, and it looks like it's going to be pretty nice, and just looking forward to you know, we'll see some friends there. Actually, there's, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a big all-star band at Blues Alley for a couple nights this weekend, too, including our good friend Shaken Doy, the bassist.
Yes!
So, yeah, we'll get to hook up with Shake and see some other friends, and that's always nice. So we're looking forward
to it.
I've heard only wonderful things about Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and I can tell you that the piano they have there is almost brand new 9-foot Yamaha concert grand, and all I can tell you is they're not cheap, but it should be quite spectacular. So
that is wonderful. You know, I didn't know that. That's a good piece of knowledge to have to get people to come. And then the personnel, I mean, look, just two words, okay? Karen Briggs. I mean, they're woo! I know that you two know each other so well, but the chemistry between you and Karen is so off the chain. You must just get high thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, to have an opportunity to work with all the fantastic musicians that work with the group. Obviously, Karen is an extraordinarily unique musician in that there are so few prolific jazz violinists, and then she's got an amazing stage persona and charisma and plays with such a level of, like, passion and fire and expressiveness. And so, obviously, she's someone that is, I mean, it's just an honor to be able to work with her for as long as I have, and so that'll be nice. She'll be on all the shows this weekend alongside our drummer, Raul Pineda, who is from Havana, Cuba, originally.
Yes.
And is one of the best-known Cuban drummers in the world, and for anybody who knows, you know, a bit about, like, percussion and especially in the jazz realm, I mean, the, you know, Cubans are kind of the godfathers of a lot of everything that they do, and culture in that realm, and so rhythmically advanced as a culture. So Raul is something to see in his own right, and then on bass is Rufus Philpott, who is also the band leader for Down to the Bone. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are very familiar with Down to the Bone. He's originally from London, and he's also a monster musician. So to be able to play with a group like this and to hear, you know, kind of like my vision come out with these amazing players, and of course we'll be doing some of Karen's material as well. is just, you know, it's so fun and what a thrill, and people are in for a treat, so I hope they'll get out there to any of the shows this weekend and share in some early year cheer with us and some good music. So.
Oh, look, let's just put it out there. Folks really do have cabin fever, and this is the absolute way to remedy that situation, especially for folks in the Mid-Atlantic who are coming from PA and New Jersey to see you on Thursday at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And really, it's a simple thing. All you need to do is go to BethesdaBluesJazz.com and get your tickets via there. Very simple. Showtime, 8 o'clock, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I believe it's 6 p.m. doors, and I know they have a very nice dinner service and all that as well. So for people who want to come early and dine before the show, I'm sure you can also dine during the show. So, yeah, 6 p.m. doors and then 8 p.m. show, and we're just, you know, we're very excited and looking forward to seeing a lot of friendly faces and hopefully some new ones as well on Thursday.
Well, you know what, Dr. Tizer, because I'm just going to call you doctor because that's what you need to be. You're welcome. Seriously, you have at this particular age something that is so powerful that it's been a subject for conversation, what on earth you're going to be like when you hit 50 or 60. Because if you can do this much in the way of overseeing such powerful music, such life-changing, really joyful music that encompasses different areas of the globe, what on earth will you do when you're an old man?
Well, I'll probably still be bald. and so the good news is we know that my hair won't get in the way of any good ideas. And I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you, Trish, like, I feel very fortunate. I got a very young start, and all I've ever done is music. I never had another job. I started performing freshly when I was in high school. It just kind of fell into my lap and kind of showed its way as my path. And, of course, I've been through trials and tribulations. It's been a very interesting journey, but it just keeps getting better. And I feel very fortunate that I got such an early start because now I'm, you know, I'm just in my 30s and to be able to have and be a real veteran of this music and have the experiences and learning opportunities that I've had, I agree with you. I hope that it just continues to get better and look forward to very bright things in the future. I mean, you know, one of the blessings for me that I do have to say is in all the years that I've, since I started my first band, which was about 15 years ago, I've been fortunate to work with so many really fine musicians. And more than anything, I've learned so much from working with them, how to be a band leader. And also just when you play with people that have unbelievable vocabulary and, you know, ability to improvise and great overall sense and breadth for the music, right, and are so well-versed. I mean, it really pushes you to grow. And so I have to say that more than anything, I've studied with some great teachers in my life as well. But more than anything, the opportunity to work with people like Karen and Rufus and Raul and Kieli Minucci for so many years has really pushed me to grow so much as a musician. And that's something that is very gratifying on just a personal level, you know, to know and to kind of watch yourself grow and look back. So I'm excited, of course, for the years to come. You know, it should be an exciting journey as it continues.
And this is why you are so endearing to so many, too, because if there is such keen musicianship involved and there's also humility, then the music speaks more of the truth than anybody could possibly describe. So I thank you for that. And honestly, Lau, I will see you on Thursday. I had been on the fence about that, but now I've got my ducks in a row, so I'll see you.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting in person. I don't think we've met yet in spite of numerous conversations and lots of Facebook messages. So I look forward to seeing you and hopefully a lot of your listeners there as well. And I really appreciate you supporting this music with the enthusiasm and zest that you do it so well. So my hat's off to you, and I know I can say that on behalf of so many, you know, people in this genre. Thank you for your support, and we look forward to seeing you Thursday and many times in the future as well.
Well, you will, and I thank you for that. It's just really important to share greatness in music. There's a lot of music out there, and you know this as well as anyone, but when it is done with such energy and vigor and absolute technical prowess, you can't even describe. But overall, more than that, honesty, it has to be shared. So, yes. The opportunity to see Rufus and Raul and Karen and you—it's crazy. It's criminal to not see this kind of artistry in person. So, pox on you if you don't go.
I like that. So, everybody listening out there, if you don't go, Christian's coming for you.
I am. I'm coming for you.
I've left it in her more than capable hands.
Well, thank you so much for calling it. Such relatively short notice. I appreciate the time that you took. You best believe I'm going to play a 9-minute track from Downbeat right now.
I like it. Which one? There's a couple of them, I think.
I know. Tanzanica, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah. We'll be playing that on Thursday. That's one of mine as well. It's a tune that really represents, in many ways, what this band is about now, especially, like, because that tune, more than almost any other on the new album, Downbeat, really encapsulates all these different flavors that we tie together. It's the Afro-Cuban and world rhythms mixed with a bit of classical and a bit of rock, and there's a real, like, it's definitely one of those tunes that you would call kind of like an epic piece, and this is something that we wrote collaboratively. You know, in the process of leading up to recording the record. So it's definitely become a staple for the band, and we will definitely be playing it on Thursday.
That's wonderful. Oh, that is so nice to hear. Well, thank you, Lau Tizer, for being with us. It's always a pleasure to hear you, and of course, you know, you have a home. Anytime you have something to pitch or want to talk about, we're here for you.
Thank you, and likewise, a pleasure to come on with you guys anytime, so thank you so much for having me and for supporting the music and not just what we're doing, but what all these fine, you know, artists and musicians out there are doing, and just a matter of reaching the people with it, but you're right, people should come see this kind of music as much as they can. It's its own thing, and I think a very, very uplifting and valuable experience. And the beauty of jazz, right, is the improvisation and spontaneity that happens and the interaction energetically between the band on stage and also the audience, and the magic that can be in a given venue when that happens is really, you know, it's something you can't replicate duplicate, and that's a special thing. So.
Oh, you are so right about that. And the element of support, there are no more excuses not to support. You either put your money where your mouth is, you know, things are looking hopeful as far as economy is concerned. Everybody has money for everything else, Lau, so it's time to put money on music and support. There.
It's true. And remember, you know, in the annals of history, cultures are always remembered more so for their art than anything else. You know, really, I mean, it's the art and the lineage that they leave. And, you know, jazz is the original American art form. So thanks to people like you that understand what it takes to support it and giving a mouthpiece to, you know, to reach more and more people. I'm just grateful to be a small part of this big community, you know, of jazz music in this country and worldwide. And actually, I was talking to a friend last night, and I guess we'll leave it at this, but something I think is very interesting, and this band is a perfect example of, like, if you think about music and a lot of the groups in this realm of music, like, you know, this group, so I'm from Boulder, Colorado, Karen's from, you know, Williamsburg, Virginia, Ruth is from the UK, Raul's from, you know, Havana, Cuba, and we've all come together because of music. It bridges those boundaries. It bridges cultural boundaries. It bridges ethnic boundaries. And I think in that way, what happens in a group like this, like, we're all just accepting and open to each other as human beings, regardless of our backgrounds. And I think that sets a really meaningful example for, you know, what I would hope for the world, right, is that, you know, people just accept each other as they are and are, you know, and work together. And so I just think as an example in some very small way. I'm very proud to be a part of a group that kind of represents that. And I always think that, you know, that's something that means a great deal to me. So.
Oh, yes, yes. And I can tell, and so many others can tell through your music. I mean, look, the title World in Rhythm says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If only we could strive for that more clearly and with vigor. And your music teaches us to do that, so I thank you for that.
I thank you for a very kind compliment, and it was a pleasure to chat with you, and thanks to everybody out there for tuning in. We hope to see you Thursday or somewhere else on the East Coast or somewhere else throughout the year.
We'll
be on the road.
We'll keep pumping it. Thank you, Lo.
Thank you,
and
Trish.
We'll talk
have a great
soon.
Day.
You
nice
too.
See you in
nice
a couple days.
Nice with you. All right, cool. Yay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Tizer and Tanzanika from Downbeat. is Hybrid Jazz.
We'll be right back.
Every once in a while, we have to do something special for those who have been with me since the beginning of Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. That's for Griselda, her favorite Al Jarreau song from 1983. Woo! Morning. Yes, sir. And, you know, we got some good news about Al, but first of all, the show. It has surpassed 102,000 listens. Thank you so much. It is mind-blowing to conceive of that, but it is true because Blog Talk Radio is meticulous about keeping data. So, man, I looked at that past couple of days and went, woohoo! That's awesome. Now, look, this is so terrific. Al Jarreau's got 6 shows at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London coming up in the next several days. This is to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of Jarreau. And you just heard Morning from Jarreau. So Al's got some, he's got, let's put it to you this way, some good news to help console him over the loss of a best friend. Because when I tell you that he and George Duke were as thick as thieves, you do not know. Since the 60s, and I think about Al a lot because Al is 74, and I thought if one of those friends was going to go first, it was going to be Al because of his heart condition. And everybody was surprised that George was the one to leave us in August of last year, but we'll dwell on some good
news for the time being, but I've got another piece of some bad news to pass along to you. I have to, you know, what else can you do? But more good news now. What you heard before, Al Jarreau, was Willie Bradley. And Willie, thank you so much for reaching out to me and making sure I was aware of Another Day in Time. That is cool stuff. You heard What You Won't Do for Love. You had a couple of trumpet players there. Some good ones. Willie Bradley and Lynn Rountree. And this is pretty monumental for Willie. You know, this is a gentleman who has played with Dizzy Gillespie and Max Roach and Betty Carter and more. This particular project, Another Day in Time, produced by young Nicholas Cole, thank you very much. On this album, Jeff Kashua, Marcus Anderson, Nicholas doing his keyboard thing, and then you just heard the track, the Bobby Caldwell song, done with Lynn Rountree. Man, that was good stuff. I thank you, Willie, once again. We'll have to dip into that more. Sent me the whole doggone project, yeah. And, of course, we heard from Lau Tizer and his band Tizer from Downbeat Tanzanika, a group project. Yes. This morning I woke up and Bobby Humphrey had mailed me the news that her dear Ronnie Jordan had passed away. Very sad to tell you that his siblings posted this on a separate Facebook page. And I was reminded of the greatness of Ronnie. There have been many guitarists who have posted comments about how Ronnie affected them so much, paved the way, actually, for them in their careers. This is After Hours, The Antidote, from 1992, the great guitarist Ronnie Jordan on Hyper Jazz. Thank you. Rest in peace, Ronnie Jordan. We will miss you and your generosity of spirit and that amazing, inspirational guitar. God bless. Ron Kearns is with us on Thursday. Coming up, Micah Chevalier, Anita King, and Geneva Renee for their special February 14th Valentine's Day show in Silver Spring. They're going to be on the show January 30th. A whole month of greatness coming your way on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on Thursday with Ron Kearns right here. God bless.